In the name of Jesus, amen. There's a certain mental picture that I have sometimes when I think about baptism. In particular, when I remember my baptism, and especially when I consider my part in my baptism. This is a mental picture that actually is derived from Romans chapter 6, and it came out as a result of a great theological dispute that I had with my dad, and then later with my dad and my pastor, over the issue of baptism, and especially over the issue of my baptism. This was back in high school when I was a teenager, and I was typical. As a teenager, I thought that I knew a lot more than just about every adult, especially my mom and dad, and even my pastor. Ironically, though, at the same time, I thought that all of my friends knew a lot more than me. And of course, that's not a very good combination to help you deal with life at that time. Anyway, there was a Bible study group on my high school campus, sponsored by InterVarsity and by some of the local churches, and I thought it was a good idea that I should hang out with other Christians. And that proved to be probably one of the most spiritually dangerous things that I've ever done in my whole life. It was kind of a confusing time back then. I'm not going to say when I was in high school, but this was a time when the charismatic movement was raging around and just beginning to become mainstream. And the born-again craze was out there, and it was beginning to become mainstream. And all my friends and neighbors who used to go to mainline denominations, a lot of them at this time stopped doing that. Some simply stopped going to church. Others switched from their mainline denominations to some of the new-fangled non-denominational denominations that were springing up all over Southern California. And this group of kids was composed mostly of non-denoms, born-agains, charismatics, holiness people, and they came to look at me as the one Lutheran in the group as the exotic minority. All the debates would focus upon me, it seemed. Dave, is it true? My pastor said your pastors in your church forgive sins. I thought only God can forgive sins. That sounds really Catholic. Is it true? We would debate. I would hold my own. They never moved me on that. Dave, my youth pastor used to be a Lutheran, but he left the Lutheran church because he says that when you take communion, you think it's really Jesus' body and blood, and that your sins are forgiven. Is that true? Doesn't that make you cannibals? Doesn't that make you Catholic? And there'd be a big debate, and I would hold my own, never moved me on that. And then, of course, the issue of baptism kept coming back over and over. Don't you guys baptize babies? Don't you say that baptism saves? And I would hold my own. They would never move me on that until one day all the arguments stopped being theoretical and became very personal. The leader of this group had been baptized the prior Sunday, and instead of a Bible study, we got together and he told us about his baptism, how his pastor said he had willingly stepped down into the Jordan River with Jesus, and that that was what baptism was all about. Well, then everybody there began to tell the story about their baptism or their rebaptism. And of course, I was kind of silent because it suddenly occurred to me I really didn't remember a lot of the details of that day. Then we got into a fierce argument because someone realized all of a sudden, Dave, you're not talking. You were baptized as a baby, weren't you? And suddenly in horror, they realized that maybe I wasn't even a Christian at all. Well, we debated the matter, but I held my own. But you know, that one thing kind of stuck in my head and then cut me in the gut. That whole thought that I never had the chance to willingly step down into the Jordan River with Jesus. It seemed like such a beautiful picture. And how all these guys were saying that they had a part in their baptism, but David, you didn't have a part in yours. I brought myself, but David, somebody else brought you. That stuck in my head and it cut in my gut. And the more I thought about it, the angrier I got about the way that I was baptized. And one day I went to my dad and I confronted him over what he did to me. You robbed me of my chance forever to willingly step down into the Jordan River with Jesus. How dare you? How could you have done that to me? You didn't even ask for my permission. My dad said, well, you were only one. And I said, well, you could have let me get older. I would have said yes. Of course I would have said yes, but you didn't even bother to ask. You trampled over my rights. How could you do that? I told my dad, it's almost as bad as if you arranged for me to marry a girl I didn't even know. Well, my dad responded by arguing for Matthew 28, just like I used to argue with those kids, and Mark 16:16, just like I used to argue, and Mark 10, Jesus gives the kingdom to little kids, just like I used to argue, and 1 Peter 3, in Luther's Catechism, and I stood my ground. I wasn't moved. So then my dad did something radical. He made an appointment for us to go talk to Pastor. I thought he was overreacting, but we went early Sunday morning before church, even before Sunday school, because this was a day when we were going to have communion, and my dad was feeling, Dave, maybe you shouldn't take communion today. I thought he was really overreacting. Then we got together with Pastor, and Pastor quoted Matthew 28 and Mark 16:16 and Mark 10, 1 Peter 3, Luther's Catechism. I stood my ground. I wasn't moved. The main beef was, it's not like I didn't believe in infant baptism. I agreed theoretically with it, but I was a little too good for that. And I said, you know, it just galls me that the most important thing that ever happened to me when I was baptized, and I didn't even have a part. And then Pastor Grothy responded by saying, well, that's not exactly true. And then we turned to Romans 6. I remember he read the passage, and then he asked me a very strange question. He said, Dave, could you crucify yourself? Seemed like a strange question. The answer was stranger because I said, yes, I could. I thought he was speaking metaphorically, you know, deny yourself, take up your cross. I could do that, I thought, you know. He said, no, Dave, could you literally crucify yourself? Could you nail yourself to a cross? Not have somebody else crucify you, could you crucify yourself? Seemed like a strange question. The answer was stranger, because I said, yes, I could. If I had to do it, yes, I could. I was tough. I used to work at my grandpa's ranch in the summer, used to lift weights. If I had to crucify myself, yes, I would crucify myself. My dad and my pastor laughed, and they said, really? I said, yeah. And that's where that mental picture came into my mind, this mental picture of me standing outside of some city, probably Jerusalem, on a hill, probably Golgotha. There's a cross, a hammer, and four nails, and I've got to crucify myself. And I'm thinking I can, but then suddenly I'm realizing this is going to be kind of very logistically hard. If I nail myself down on the cross, who's going to lift it up? I'm not crucified yet until it's up, so I have to lift the cross up first. Then I'm thinking, what am I going to do, crawl up there, hang on with one arm? I can't nail myself in. So I picture, well, maybe there'll be a little footstep like I've seen in some pictures. I'll stand on that, then I can lean over and nail my feet in. But I better be careful I don't tip over. Then I'll be hanging, but not crucified. Then I'm thinking, okay, if I hold a nail in my left hand, I can hammer that one in. I'm 3/4 of the way there. So I said, okay, I can't crucify myself. But what does this have to do with baptism? And my pastor said, well, that was your part in baptism, David. You were crucified into Christ. You died with him. You were buried with him in baptism. Your old man was crucified. That's what happened when that pastor poured the water on your head and said, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's what happened to you then. Could you crucify your old man? No. Could you raise up a new man? No. Are you God? My pastor asked me, to which I finally said, no, I'm not. Then my dad added into the discussion. He said, Dave, do you really resent the way that God saved you from sin? And at that point, the answer was a very humble no. My pastor explained to me how the new birth we have is not a birth that comes from our decision. It's a birth that comes from God. That's what John's gospel says. And how in Romans there's these wonderful passive verbs of which we, the people of God, are the subject. That's our part in baptism. We're the subject of those passive verbs. But they're passive verbs. We're the subject, but God is the one who's acting. And that's what he's done for us. When the Apostle Paul in Romans 6 exhorts the people at Rome and exhorts us today to turn from sin and live a godly life, he's not suddenly contradicting what he said back in chapter 3. He's not suddenly saying, see, it's all up to you, really. No, he's saying God has done something very profound. He has crucified your old man. He's raised up a new man. And Romans 6, Paul ties this to baptism. I remember that being a very wonderful Sunday. A rebellious idolater was called to repentance by his pastor. Then his sins were forgiven by his pastor, and later, yes, indeed, he did take the Lord's Supper with his dad. And he came away with this mental image about his baptism, that if it was up to him, nothing would have happened, but thank God, he was the subject of a bunch of wonderful passive verbs. And so it is with you, the baptized people of God. You are the subject of passive verbs. You were crucified when you were baptized. You were buried when you were baptized. When you were baptized into Christ Jesus, God caused you to die a death so that of those of you who are dead, it could be said, your sins have been justified. You have been justified from sin, and as a result are now in a state of being justified from sin. Did you willingly step down into the Jordan with Jesus? No, thank God, Jesus willingly stepped down into the Jordan with us. And now you are the subject of all of those passive verbs. And so we give all of our thanks and all of our praise forever to the agent of those passive verbs, to our God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, both now and forever. Amen.